Internet Talk Radio, Flame of the Internet.
This is Geek of the Week, and we're talking with John Romke, who's a partner in the corporation of Elf Communications. John, welcome to Geek of the Week.
Thank you.
You're famous for the ToasterNet. Could you tell us what ToasterNet is and why we need one?
Sure. Well, I'm not sure you actually need one, but the Internet Toaster originally started out as sort of a partially practical joke and partially a way of demonstrating some things that you could do with SNMP and computer networks that most people didn't tend to think about. The idea was that you could actually use SNMP to control things. Most people use SNMP today to monitor things and manage them, and they don't tend to use it much for configuration or control. But the model of management that SNMP provides is actually pretty general, and you can model all sorts of systems in it and then actually go and control them. You could change the channel on your TV, you could control amplifier, or you could control a toaster. So what we did is we took a toaster. Stuart Vance at TGV actually found this remarkable toaster for us. It's a Sunbeam Radiant Automatic Toaster. The great feature about it is that you don't have to press any levers to actually make it start toasting. You put the toast in, you put the bread in before it's toasted, you drop that in, and the toaster actually senses the weight of the bread and lowers it. And it only does this if power is applied to it. So what we did is we took this and then we just switched the AC current going into it, and we had that controlled by a PC that was running an SNMP agent. And then if the power was on, then you put in the bread and it would start toasting. You remove the power and it stops toasting and the toasted bread rises up. So what we did then was we created a small MIB, management information base for SNMP, that actually described the control variables for actually doing the toasting. And you could do things like set the type of thing that you were toasting. And so that was an enumerated variable. And you could have values like white bread, wheat bread. We decided Wonder Bread was in a class of its own, so that was neither white nor wheat. Bagel.
Nor bread.
Nor bread, actually, yeah. Bagels, frozen hash browns, frozen waffles, things like that. And then you'd set that, and then you'd set a doneness level, 1 through 10, how browned you wanted it, and you really didn't want to set it on 10. And another variable you could set was, in fact, perhaps the most important variable was the one that you set to 1 in order to tell it start toasting, or 0 to tell it to stop toasting. And the agent, in the SNMP agent that you actually had the toaster connected to, all these did were just set a few variables internally and then start a timer. So when you told it to start toasting, what it did is it made a computation about to decide how long to toast for the desired doneness of whatever it is you're toasting. Then it activated the power supply to the toaster. It started toasting, then it turned it off after the appropriate number of seconds had passed. One of the really awful things was calibrating it, because you end up having to fill your garage with partially toasted Eggos and pieces of bread and stuff, and trying to fill out this matrix of values to figure out how long you have to toast an Eggo to achieve an 8 doneness on it. You know, and it's pretty difficult to figure out what an 8 is for an Eggo in the first place.
Well, this sounds like a potential ACM SIGCOM paper here.
Yeah, right. Van Jacobsen might be able to come up with some optimizations for it, too. I'm not sure.
That's right. He could do it based on one piece of bread. He'd have the full doneness range done.
Yeah. One of the things we didn't count on in demoing this at Interop, there were a couple of things we didn't count on. This was done while I was at Epilog Technology. And two problems we ran into is one was a political problem with food services, which is that food services at the show at the convention center would get really upset at us because we were bringing food in, and only they were allowed to bring food in. And so we were actually violating Interop's contract by bringing in frozen waffles or pieces of bread and then sticking them in this toaster.
There's a waffle union?
There's some sort of problem with that. You know, that's why Interop ends up having to spend $2 a bottle for these little 1-ounce bottles of Coke and things like that. So Interop actually managed to get permission for us to bring in one slice of bread. And the other problem then that we didn't anticipate is what happens if you toast one slice of bread over and over and over again all day long, or if you toast one Pop-Tart over and over and over again. It's not too pretty.
Not a pretty sight, I would imagine.
It breaks the matrix pretty badly, too.
Now, this wasn't fully automated the first year. You had to actually manually insert the bread into the toaster.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You certainly had to. In fact, FTP Software did a version of it where I believe they built a robot arm out of Legos, which would actually drop the thing that you wanted to toast into the toaster. Yeah.
In fact, as I understand it, they used the powerful getNext operator as the way of activating that function.
Yep. And in fact, in our first toaster, you actually did not get to set the variable. You got the value of the variable, and that caused it to toast because it turned out that we only got the code written, finished a few hours before the show itself. Part of the reason that SNMP is not used for control applications a lot of the time has actually been because of authentication and security issues. And it's like, if suppose you actually do have your internet toaster in your kitchen, right, you really don't want people, random people all over the world, to decide, oh, I think I'll have some fun. I'm going to toast Carl's bread this morning. You want to make sure you have some security there so that you can be very clear that only people who are allowed to are going to activate your toaster or play with your stereo or whatever.
So will SNMP version 2 bring toasters into the mainstream then?
Well, I can't say that for sure. I think I'd have to check with Jeff Case on that. But I don't see any standardization of the toaster MIB in the future. The toaster MIB working group just has never gone anywhere. Someday I want to publish the toaster MIB as an RFC. I need to sort of resurrect it and get it out there. I think John Postel, I hope he'll treat that with the appropriate amount of seriousness as it deserves.
Now, the point you were trying to make is if I can manage a toaster, I can manage anything. But people understand that at a trade show like Interop?
No, I don't think they really got that point across. In fact, it's not too clear to me that the toaster had this problem of mostly being a flashy demo, but it didn't really say anything about the company's products, And Epilogue was selling a portable SNMP protocol stack, right? And everybody says, oh, wow, look at this toaster, right? It's got really not very much to do with the actual products. And it also didn't, I think it really actually didn't communicate the concept all that well, because people didn't actually, there's nothing to show you that SNMP is going on there. What you see is somebody presses a key on a keyboard and this bread submerges into this toaster, and there's not enough there to actually communicate that there are bits going back and forth and what's actually going on, what the control process is. Simon Hackett's control is amplifier with SNMP, and that might be more useful for demonstrating the control utility of SNMP simply because there's more you can do. You can change the radio dial setting, you can change the volume, there's a lot more controls you can play with there, and the feedback is much more in real time. The toaster's a little too simple there. Although one person, I published the toaster MIB once on the SNMP mailing list, and I did get back some email from somebody thanking me because she said that this actually really clarified what a MIB did, how variables in it were used, because it was something she could relate to much better than the interface table or the IP routing table or something like that, which is pretty abstract. Here it's like pressing a button and you cause the toast to go, right? And that was a lot easier to relate to. So it may be useful for classroom environments or teaching situations. I don't know about that.
Is SNMP appropriate for small arbitrary devices? Is it too much overhead? Is it too complex for toasters or modems or things of
that
sort?
Most toasters don't actually have a CPU. So, yes, SNMP is really too complicated to run on a toaster, but just about anything is really too complicated to run on a toaster. As far as that goes, I think that if your device has got, say, any kind of 16-bit processor with maybe 128K of memory available to it, which almost everything that has a CPU in it has available to it these days, then I don't think SNMP is too large or too complex. It draws a lot of criticism for ASN1 because ASN1 is viewed to be pretty large and bulky. But by convention, the facilities in ASN1 that are used in SNMP, if you work at it, you can actually do a pretty decent, small, and efficient implementation of it. SNMP v2 is certainly going to add a lot of overhead to that just because of the security features in it, the encryption, everything. You know, if you throw all of that in, there's a lot more capabilities in it, and it's going to cost you something to get that. But I can't say that I really will, you know, see the audio industry or the home appliance industry rushing out to use SNMP to implement SNMP on all their devices that they build. But I don't think it's inappropriate to use it for those sorts of things. There are actually standards being done by other completely non-IETF organizations for home control systems. There are buses. There's actually CRCS circuit seller, Steve CRCS, who used to do articles for Byte. He's actually designed the system he calls the HCS2, and I've been looking to get some information on that because I may want to put some of that in my home. I just bought a house in Cambridge, and we're running Ethernet through it and phone wiring, twisted pair at every room that's got a phone drop. And I'd actually like to get things like lights controlled from the network system in the house. And probably the appropriate way to deal with that sort of stuff is to say, you've got whatever protocols being spoken by that equipment that's appropriate to it. It's the native protocol, whether it's protocol spoken by the HCS2 or the X10 controllers that do dimming or your burglar alarm system or that sort of thing, and then have gateways that translate that into SNMP if you really do want to control that from the Internet. And a lot of this, it's really overkill to control from the Internet.
You're listening to Geek of the Week. Support for this program is provided by O'Reilly & Associates, recognized worldwide for definitive books on the Internet, Unix, the X-Windows system, and other technical topics. Additional support for Geek of the Week comes from Sun Microsystems. Sun, the network is the computer.